Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of mercy, grace, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way, which we've already been laughing a little bit before we even started. I'm honored and thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Julie Gorman. And Grace Break is all about refining energy, movement, and thought. As Julie will share with us today, how just refining our energy, movement, and thought into a deeper relationship with Christ empowers us toward healthy relationships today. And a little bit about Julie. She's a certified coach, trainer, and speaker. She writes, produces, and hosts a weekly broadcast with FYI and is the founder of For Your Inspiration and His Love Extended Ministries. And I just love this part, that your whole above all other is to glorify God by assisting believers to fulfill the vision God ordained for their lives so they can impact their homes, communities, and nation more effectively. So today, Julie, you're going to share from your newest book, What I Wish My Mother Told Me About Men, and you dissect the distorted view, and I highlighted distorted view of men in relationship that women carry as a result of their yearning to feel loved, worthy, and safe, a longing that only can be filled by our Creator. Julie, again, congratulations on the book success, the outreach success. And I know that there are many moments, but today, what is one surprising moment you've experienced during the launch of this book?
Oh, wow, yeah. First, Tracy, thank you so much for the opportunity to share this life-transforming message. I think the thing that has been most surprising to me is the response that I've gotten. You know, throughout the process of writing the book, there were those moments where God has healed my life completely. And really, at the point of writing the book, I had to go back and try to remember what were some of the struggles, what were those things that I wrestled with, which is shows evidence of God's grace and mercy right there. But in the process of writing, I knew that God wanted me to write transparently and to share vulnerably, not to come from a theoretical point of view, but from a vulnerable standpoint of, look, I get it. It's tough. You know, relationships are difficult, and the paradigms that we carry aren't always even aware at the forefront of our mind. And so I came from that standpoint, and as I did, I really began to share vulnerably. Well, I wasn't so sure that I wanted you to know about those areas that God healed my life from. And so very shortly, God took me to a passage in Luke 8. It was the woman with the issue of blood. And as I looked at this passage of Scripture that I'd read 100 times before, right, there's this small verse that leapt off the page at me. And what it was after, you know, Jesus had, the woman had touched the edge of Jesus' garment. She had been made whole. And then she tries to shift away and get away in the crowd. She doesn't want to be seen. And Jesus keeps insisting, who touched me? And finally, and this small little verse that came out and just leapt off the page, as I'm sure you can relate to, it said, when the woman realized she couldn't go unnoticed, she came forward and told all that had happened to her. And in that single passage, what I realized is I wanted to take my healing and rejoice in it. I was certainly thankful for what God had done. But what God was calling me to do is to share those points. And what he whispered to my heart, just those thoughts that so surpass our own thoughts, he said, Julie, when people realize how far I ran to rescue you, they'll find hope for their soul. And so with that, I wasn't prepared, though, for the responses. And what we're getting back unanimously is this is transforming my life. And I know, Tracy, that that has nothing to do with me. That is just totally a work of the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege to be able to share all those parts that I was so ashamed of, to point to a greater love that truly God is the only one who can satisfy those longings of our soul.
It's amazing how when we are transparent and we share that story, we share the walk with him, how it does transform and help others' lives. So kudos to you for walking in that transparency. Because for so many, who wants to go there, you know, stand on the platform and and be naked in a way. So.
Yeah, it's been so awesome, though. It's worth it, you know, because I have people who are sharing these stories, and I know that it was because they felt comfortable. They could allow themselves to go to places and realize things about themselves. Look, we're all in a desperate need for God's touch. And I'm just so grateful that God took some areas of my life that were very broken, provided the healing, and that I get the opportunity now to use that testimony, if you will, as a bridge for others to cross over.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So in Grace Break fashion, we kind of talk about who am I and why am I here. And through the life process of this book in your ministry, for our audience, what is one question or action they can take to start looking at the relationships without that distorted lens?
Wow, great, great question. One of the most critical questions, I believe, you know, people say, well, how do I know if I'm dysfunctional? How do I know if I have unrealistic expectations? Because it's our paradigm. We don't know. And one of the things that I always pointed back to is if we can't answer these questions, we can be almost certain that we have faulty paradigms or some issues to overcome. And the critical questions that we can begin that will help to provide life transformation is, first off, what do I believe God thinks about me? If we can't answer that question, we're still searching. You know, how does God describe me? And if we aren't absolutely resolved, here's the thing. Unless we know who God says we are, we risk that temptation of allowing other people or other things to define us. I call it the God vacuum of our soul. It doesn't matter, male, female, single, married, young, old. We all have those questions of, you know, who am I? Why am I here? Why do I exist? And, you know, do I have value? And until we know how God describes us and the purpose for which he designed our life, we spend those things or our attention and we allocate our affection to so many other things that just will not fulfill, whether it's a relationship, a struggle of trying to make another person, or whether it's our children or our job, our ministries, all of those things. Those things are secondary to how God defines us. Everything else can be taken, right? So we have to know. We have to be able to answer that question. And I think that that's the pivotal point that allows us to be made whole so that we are prepared to love as God intended us to love.
I love that. And you call it the God vacuum of our soul. I call it the cool kid box. Living in Western society, we all want to be doing what the cool kids are doing and not living within our own individual purpose. So when people are searching for what do I believe God thinks of me, where should they start that search?
I've ran into God in the most unexpected places. I know that even when I failed him, Tracy, he came searching for me. I share in the book one of the most vulnerable areas of my life. I was sitting at the edge of a bar. Now, I'm not saying for your guests to go find God at the edge of a bar. So, you know, let's not put bad words in my mouth. But God is searching for us. And as I sat at the edge of a bar, his spirit showed up. And the thing that he prompted is, you know, my intent was to get as drunk as possible, as quick as possible. But what God spoke to me in that moment, he says, there's nowhere you can run that my grace won't find you. And so I think the first place that we have to begin is a true understanding of our desperate need for God. You know, I had preached and taught on the grace of God, but it was at the edge of a bar that I really encountered, wow, he is the good shepherd who comes searching for that lost sheep. It's coming to that place of, wow, I am absolutely going to explode. I'm going to destroy my life until I come face-to-face in an encounter with him. And those places are different for each one of us, right? But it's coming to that awareness of our need for a Savior. And then the revelation that permeates throughout the entire book. The central message really is so much more than just what the faulty paradigms we carry as women sometimes. The central focus is that God is fighting for our affection, that he loves us passionately, and only he can satisfy the longings of our soul. And it's when we come to that place and get past of a religious ascent towards God and truly soak in his word, invite him to speak like Samuel did, Lord, speak, your servant's listening, right? All of those different moments where we bring him into the everyday and say, God, surprise me today. Speak to me specifically. You fashioned me. Surely you can get through this thick skull of mine, right? And invite him to be very real and active. But it does have to be intentional, and I think that's in word. It's you know, seeking him in the word and seeking him in prayer and being intentional to be quiet before him.
And that has to be every day because it's a lifelong relationship to even get there and figure that out. So, and sometimes for me, he's prepared differently. So the more I grow in relationship with him, the more I have to listen of what's now being prepared.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's just it. Progress always involves process. You nailed it.
And you and I, Julie, in a separate conversation from here, we've talked about the very platform that's built for us is the very pain and suffering that we've gone through. And I want to bring this quote up, and it's out of Timothy Keller's book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, and talking about what he's preparing everyone for. And here's what he said. Finally, suffering is almost a prerequisite if we're going to be of much use to other people, especially when they go through their own trials. And I think about that, and not necessarily your book is all about suffering, but it is almost just that walk of who am I, why am I here, what do I need to do? And some of our hearts ache for that.
I'll never forget when God began to call me out of corporate America, making a six-figure income, minding my own business, had went through divorce, didn't really think God would ever use me in a formal capacity of ministry again because I had discounted that I was just unworthy, you know, that God could never use me. It was like as though I wore that scarlet S, you know, it was the unpardonable sin, and God might, you know, redeem me, let me, you know, skirt through, you know, and maybe sneak through the gates of heaven, but he would never use me formally. And when he began to call me, what you were talking about, he began to call me to do the work of an evangelist, my response was, but God, I'm divorced, as if he didn't know that. And the thing that he spoke to my heart again, I don't know why God does this. I guess he just speaks kind of these one-liners because he knows I'm not going to pay that much attention if he doesn't really just shock me. And what he spoke, though, is he said, you know, Julie, the things you think disqualify you will be the very platform from which you stand. And that's just it, Tracy. It's in the painful parts. It's in our weakness that he's made strong. It's in our desperate attempt to fill every area of our soul and come up lacking that we can say nothing else satisfies. You know, my passion in life is simply to help people fall in love more with Jesus. That's it. Because he is the only thing that will satisfy. And so all those things that once distracted, all those things that once disqualified, I have so embraced God's love, mercy, and forgiveness that when other people tell me their story, they don't shock me. And I can just point to say, it's okay. It's all right, you know. God's there. And that's why Jesus came. And don't we all need to hear that?
Absolutely. So we're going to move into, I want to quickly, our listeners today, our first, if you call in to this number, 347-850-8893, that's 347-850-8893, be the first caller in here, and I am giving away a copy of Julie's book.
Woohoo!
Of What I Wish My Mother Had Told Me About Men, which is, you know, it's a great, great book. It's a resource not only for women but young adults, male and female. And I think men who are seeking a stronger relationship, whether they're single or they're married, I think it's a great resource. It's a great resource for dads if you've got girls at home. So first caller, and we've got our first one in here. So I'm going to answer this really quickly. Okay, Julie?
Yep, you go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, you are on the line. Who are we speaking to?
It's Fran Capocia.
Hey, Fran. How are you?
Great, great.
Well, thank you so much for calling in today, and I will be mailing you a copy of Julie's book.
Oh, what a blessing. Oh, my gosh.
Yay, congratulations, Fran. Hey, Fran, you got any questions for us?
I took you off guard.
I
was just going to say, I was going to make more of a comment, just that this is the message I've heard the third day in a row, you know.
Mm.
It's all about God's love right now, and it's just so encouraging that God loves us that much, no matter what we've been through, that he just keeps, you know, pursuing us. And so anyway, sorry, didn't expect that, but but it's just so encouraging to hear that, you know, there's so many people that go through things like this, and that, you know, and that he's there, and that he doesn't disqualify, like you said, and, you know, and we're just probably going to, you know, just require more, actually, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited to read the book, and I'm on my journey to encounter him in that new way. So
absolutely,
so thank you.
You are. So Fran, I know how to get a hold of you to get your mailing address. Thank you so much for listening today to Grace Break Radio, and I will be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks,
thank
Fran.
You. Bye.
Well, that was exciting. I do know Fran, so that will be fun. And she is in this journey right now. So that is great.
Awesome. Fantastic. That's always fun to give away stuff.
It is always fun. So let's talk. Fran just called and talked about the courage to, you know, keep letting God pursue her.
Mm.
And so not only in your book, Julie, do you share your personal story to have faith outside of yourself, and you just openly share that pain. What is, and I know there's a couple, but what is the defining moment in your story that gave you the courage to just push forward and recognize that moment?
Wow, yeah, so many different ones. You know, I shared about the woman with the issue of blood and that whole call of being vulnerable. You know, there were pivotal moments. The bar was certainly a pivotal moment, but I think that every day, Tracy, you know, the thing that God encourages me to do is to not compare my life with another. I think the risk or the temptation that we sometimes have is we think, well, if I were just smarter, if I were just more talented, if I could just, you know, if I wrote a book that could get published, well, then God could use me. But the thing that God has done all throughout my life is to ask me questions like, will you serve me here? You know, those moments of what we would call obscurity. The book didn't just happen. You know, it was birthed after long seasons of
mm-hmm.
what I would call those lonely periods where we begin to question, you know, God, are you still here? And one of the things I always share is don't mistake God's silence as God's absence. It's those areas that we wonder when we feel strangely alone that there's this preparation that's taking place in our life. And the very things that, like when David was out with the sheep, that was the very moment that God was preparing him to kill the lion, to kill the bear. And when he stood before Goliath, he looked at him as no other fierce beast except, you know, just, oh, here's another one. Well, I know how to do this. God's already equipped me for it. And so I think that the thing that God has surprised me so many times by his love and his mercy, that what I've really come to understand is it's not about me. It's just out of walking steps of obedience. And there's two things when I think about faith. You know, those moments when everything has been tested and tempted and you feel like overwhelmed and you wonder if you can go on. I realized that faith wasn't conjuring up some noble notion and asking God to bless it, right? You know, sometimes we think, well, the bigger the better, now God go bless it. That's
mm-hmm.
not it. Faith is hearing God's voice and then simply aligning our life to follow after. I didn't plan to write this book. As a matter of fact, I resisted it. I turned my agent down 3 times, and God just, he said, well, would you pray about it? I was like, oh, no. And so I did. And in that, though, God lined up different people that I had cultivated relationship with over the last 7 years. These amazing people that we look at as maybe spiritual icons, you know, the who's who. But God had them along because they were part of my journey. I didn't have to create that. God already ordained it. I just needed to simply follow after him. And the second part, and then I'll hush lest I ramble too long. You know, there's these moments when we're wondering and we feel like, God, I'll serve you in this place of obscurity, right? And that sounds really noble. Yes, Lord, I'll serve you here. Where you lead me, I'll follow. We can make it this noble thing, but sometimes it's desperate and we can't even hardly take our next breath. And I've encountered moments like that where I really wondered, God, have you forsaken me? Have I missed you? Is there sin in my life or what? Because I don't see you've given these promises, but nothing's aligning. And I remember one night I prayed, yes, God, yes, 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 I'll serve you here in this stupid, obscure place, right? Could I say stupid on the radio? I mean, I was frustrated. It's like, God, yes, I'll serve you here, but I need to know that you still see me. And Tracy, is the only time really that I could ever say that I question whether I heard the audible voice of God or not, but I awakened to my name being called. And in that, I thought Greg, you know, was calling me. I thought somebody burglarized our home. You know, so I'm waking up like, and that pitter-patter of my heart, race of emotions, and realized everybody was sleeping. And I was like, okay, God, you got my attention. And then this thought, the singular thought again, one-liner, and what God spoke to me, said, Julie, faith isn't contingent upon the outcome of your circumstances. Faith resides in the unshakable understanding of who I am and my good intent towards you. And what I realized is that the good moments, the bad moments, they're all just defining moments. They're an opportunity for us to understand the greater revelation of who God is. And regardless of what happens, he's there. But what God was taking me even a step, because I think we all know that, right? We would all say yes to that. But the thing that I was struggling with is his good intent towards me. And so, again, those good moments, the bad moments, all sift through his hands of love. And when I began to understand that, I learned to embrace it and to understand it was just a greater revelation of God's love for me, that he was preparing me so that I would be ready for the next thing that he had. And it was really more than any outcome or accomplishment. He wanted me to understand him. He wanted to reveal how much I could trust him. And boy, there's peace and comfort in that place because it's unshakable.
That is amazing. And, you know, we all want to be there. And I've heard some people ask me, well, how do you know it's God's voice? And I think when we're still, we know. Because, you know, I'll be in a conversation with somebody and I'm like, yep, God spoke to me on that one. What do you mean he spoke to you?
Right.
Because we have, you know, the idea that the voice is going to be booming down and everything is going to light up and all this.
Mm-hmm.
You just know when you're still, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we're coming on five minutes here, and I would love to finish up our call today. And we just talked about in human nature, we like to delay in what we know to walk toward and know what is right. And in your book, The Paradigm to a Closer Relationship with Christ, not only draws us closer to our spouse, but also in reality builds healthier relationships at work, family, and community. And there's a section in your book I would love you to read, which to me states perfectly the relationship with Christ and how it weaves unbreakable relationships here, right now, today, that all of us are involved in. And that's in your book, What I Wish My Mother Had Told Me, and it's on page 232.
Okay. Yeah. It's, I think the part that you're talking about is right after we quote John Maxwell, who's one of our heroes, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And what John writes is, he says, when a person feels encouraged, he can face the impossible and overcome incredible adversity. So love that. Thank you, Dr. John Maxwell. And then underneath that, I share, single ladies, don't settle for less than a man who points you to Christ. Don't fall prey to thinking you can fix a man or save a man. God's perfect man will always point you to him. He will encourage you to have a relationship with him. And then to married ladies, if your husband is a Christian, boy, celebrate him. Look for opportunities to praise him. Don't tear him down. Constantly thank God for granting you a Christian man, and avoid the trap of finding his faults. If your husband's not a Christian, don't give up. 1 Peter 3:1-2 says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. It may be your faithfulness that ultimately draws your husband to Christ. So remember, the more intimate your relationship with Christ, the greater intimacy you'll share with your man. God makes the difference. God encourages us to celebrate a man who points to Jesus and who encourages our relationship with Christ.
Oh, that's, to me, one of the most powerful parts of the book, and I'm sure that it will speak differently to other people, but it really does just weave that unbreakable relationship with Christ and how that helps us in relationships here. To be like him.
Yeah, I think that the important thing is that as we press in to Christ, you're right, it makes us better parents. It makes us better friends. You know, because here's the truth. I could want to give you money, Tracy. I could want to clothe you with the highest, richest, you know, clothing. But if I'm naked, poor, and destitute, it doesn't matter how much I want to give you those things. I'm incapable of them because I don't have it myself. And that's the importance of coming to Christ, being fully filled with him, just like Jesus when he was on the cross. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What empowered him to do that? Listen, he was fully man. He felt the pain of Judas's kiss. He felt Peter's denial. The way he could pray that is because his needs, his identity, his worth, and his whole value wasn't upon a fickle mob, right, that would change at any point. It was firmly rooted in Christ, and that's why he could extend that same love, because he had first received it from the Father.
Absolutely. Wow. I wish we had another 30 minutes, but we don't. And as always, Grace Break has covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. So, friends, that means this is really all the time we have today. Fran, thank you so much for being the first caller into Grace Break Radio. And if you want to know more about Julie in her book, What I Wish My Mother Had Told Me About Men, which adds 12 secrets toward greater intimacy, Julie's ministry and projects, go to www.juliegorman.com, and that's JulieGorman.com, JulieGorman.com, or we have the link set up on GraceBreak.com. Julie, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart today.
Tracy, absolutely my privilege. It was great being on here. Love Grace Break Radio. I'll be sharing it.
Great. Thank you. Until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.